Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone! The Irish have come back!
Your hosts are Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett.
And we welcome you to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader on this Friday, April the 27th of 2018. We are presented by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds. By Blackthorn Golf Club. By Goshen Heart and Vascular. Be the hero your heart deserves. Visit GoshenHeartAndVascular.org. And by Laban Insurance, the agency that rocks. See why at LabanInsurance.com. He is Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish Football Insider. For the South Bend Tribune, I'm WSBT Radio Sports Director Darren Pritchett, and we are coming to you live from Four Winds Field in downtown South Bend, Indiana, where the Cubs open up a brief three-game homestand. They will take on the Great Lakes Loons, the Dodgers affiliate, game one tonight at 7:35. Brendan King will have the pregame at 7:20 on WSBT Radio. On the program this evening, a ton of football conversation. Round one of the NFL draft in the books last night. We had it for you on WSBT Radio. And two Irish go in the top nine in the first round. So a very successful day for Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey. We'll talk about their fits. You'll hear from their new bosses. And you'll hear from Quentin Nelson along the way as well. Also, we'll set you up for tonight and this weekend. Who else from the Notre Dame roster could be heading to a new NFL team? Will they be drafted over the next couple of days? We'll get into that coming up in our next segment. And while we're looking at what's going to happen this weekend, we will look into the future even more with our My 5 question of the day. Who will be the top Notre Dame prospects for the 2019 NFL draft? So Eric has to do a little guessing and forecasting about players who might leave early. Next hour, when Sean Stiers joins me, we'll spend some time focusing on the Chicago Bears' first-round pick, Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. Also, we'll review the top nine picks in the draft last night, which features two Irish drafted, the Colts and the Bears picking. So a lot of fun in the first nine picks of last night's NFL draft. We will also have rapid fire, and we'll get to some baseball conversation. We'll tell you off the top. They are in the bottom of the eighth inning at Wrigley Field, and the Cubs lead the Brewers 3-2 as Chicago picked up an RBI with two outs in the bottom of the seventh inning. I'm assuming they called it an RBI infield single. Could have been an error on the shortstop. No matter, with two outs, the go-ahead run scored, and the Cubs getting ready to hit in the bottom of the eighth inning, leading Milwaukee 3-2 behind Yu Darvish. He'll get a no decision, but Darvish pitched pretty well today for Chicago and even had a double for the Cubs offense. But Eric, we begin with NFL draft conversation. And the first round was quite interesting. For the first time in the modern era of the NFL draft, four quarterbacks go in the top 10. And this doesn't feel like the 83 group where you had all those guys like Kelly and Marino and Elway going in the first round. This is a group with a lot of question marks, but still four go in the top 10. But yet two Irish go in the top 10. And we begin with the Indianapolis Colts. They're on the clock. Bradley Chubb, probably a player they were interested in. Denver took him at number 5. And we'll talk about the dominoes of that top 5 picks in just a couple of moments. But the Indianapolis Colts were on the clock at number 6. And here's what transpired last night.
With the 6th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Quentin Nelson, guard.
Ooh, wow, holy Notre mackerel, Dame. Okay.
Well, that was Bill Polian, the old Colts general manager who was on the ESPN radio broadcast. he didn't think they were going to take Quentin Nelson, so that's why he's like, oh, wow, okay. But Quentin Nelson was the choice of the Indianapolis Colts. Many people that do draft boards felt like he was the number one player in the draft. If you believe that, the Colts got Quentin Nelson with pick number 6 in the first round. You look at the Colts' offensive line. You got Anthony Costanza at left tackle. You got the old Alabama Crimson Tide offensive lineman Ryan Kelly at center. And a pretty good chance Quentin Nelson squeezes between Costanza and Kelly as they look to protect quarterback Andrew Luck. And let's face it, Colts need to run the ball better. They had Frank Gore last year, a veteran running back. He has moved on to Miami, if I'm not mistaken. So running back could be high on the priority list for the Colts in round two. With that being said, Indianapolis was 22nd out of 32 teams in rushing last year at 1,661 yards. They averaged 3.7 yards per carry. Let's talk fit. Quentin Nelson, Indianapolis Colts, is it a match made in heaven?
In heaven? I'm not sure about that, but I think it's a great match. I don't think of Quentin Nelson in heaven in the same sentence, I guess. I think he's too nasty to think of heaven in the same sentence.
He's not dreamy at all? He's just nasty?
He's not dreamy. Yeah. But I think it's a great match, and certainly Quentin was pretty fired up about it. You know, his family had bought a lake home near Syracuse, Indiana, and I think they were going to keep it anyways, but Chris Ballard, the GM, said, hey, your parents won't have to move. I think Quentin could probably afford a home for them in Indianapolis if he really wanted to at this point. But I like it a lot. I think that, you know, Quentin, you know, offensive guards don't go that high. Bill Frelick was the last player that was drafted as a guard that went higher than Quentin Nelson, and he was an offensive tackle in college at Pitt.
He's a good player.
Yeah, really good player. It was in the Heisman discussion even. But
what?
Yeah, he was in
So it is okay to vote for offensive guards for Heisman. Oh, okay. I know one person that did, thankfully, for Quentin Nelson. He's sitting to my left.
Yeah. So, but it was great to see the positional value not override a really good decision by the Colts. And I just think Quentin made a pretty good case for himself when he had talked about, you know, all these interior star players on the interior defensive line that he's going to have to block. Why wouldn't you invest a top 10 pick in somebody that's that good?
What's interesting is you look at the picks before the Colts. Mayfield goes to the Browns, so there's a quarterback gone. Then the Giants went with running back Saquon Barkley. The Jets come back and take quarterback Sam Darnold. Colts are fine with that. Now, they knew Barkley was not going to get to them at 6. But the more quarterbacks that go, better for the Colts because they're not interested in a quarterback. Then you get to 4, and it's Cleveland on the clock. This is not a criticism of who the Browns picked.
Okay.
I want to establish that. They took what many believe the best corner on the board in Denzel Ward from Ohio State. They entered the draft with their two biggest needs of quarterback and cornerback, and they took care of that in the first 4. But with the Browns taking Ward, it set up Denver and the Colts to take arguably the two best players in the draft at 5 and 6. So Denver is sitting in a dream situation. And again, I'm a Bronco fan. Had you told me before the draft that Chubb and Nelson are on the board at 5, I am absolutely doing somersaults. So when I heard the Browns took Denzel Ward, and again, I'm not criticizing the pick, it just opened the door for two of the best players and maybe the two best players in the draft to go next. So Denver went with the pedigree that got them a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, pass rush. You got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb coming off the edge. That's a pretty dynamic duo if Chubb lives up to expectations, and I think we feel like he's going to be that type of impact guy. And so all of a sudden the Colts have Quentin Nelson fall into their lap. They need to take care of the interior of their offensive line. So the Cleveland Browns did a world of goodness for Denver and Indianapolis last night, Eric, because they left the two best prospects arguably on the board for Denver and Indianapolis. And the Colts got to be thrilled to get Nelson at six. I mean, I really think they are ecstatic because you got to protect your franchise guy.
Right. I think Denzel Ward is going to be a really good player, but I know the teams behind Cleveland were thrilled that they took Denzel Ward at number four because it kind of put everybody where they wanted to be with their prospect. For example, San Francisco, which picked McGlinchey ninth, you know, John Lynch was mentioning last night, once Cleveland took Denzel Ward, they were pretty certain that McGlinchey was either going to go eight to the Bears or nine to them. And so, yeah, it was, I don't want to say it was a bad pick. It was just so unexpected. And Cleveland probably could have traded down a few spots and still gotten him.
And here's the thing. I will say this about Cleveland. They needed a corner. They got him. But you put Myles Garrett on one side and Bradley Chubb on the other on third down?
Yeah.
That's dynamic. That's making your football team a whole lot better. And their defense actually has the makings of a pretty good unit. So I just wonder, boy, you put Chubb and Garrett out there, that's going to scare the daylights out of some offensive coordinators.
Right. I think one thing that Cleveland is thinking, and they're correct in this, if they want to, with the first pick of the second round, they can take Harold Landry. Now, I don't think he's as relentless as Chubb, and I think Chubb is way better against the run than Landry is. I think pass rusher, Landry's really good, but I think Chubb is just more consistent, and again, he plays both aspects of the game so well.
Well, on IndianapolisColts.com, there was a quick FaceTime with the newest member of the Colts, Quentin Nelson. And, of course, want to remind you, Colts football on WSBT Radio this fall. So this is courtesy of IndianapolisColts.com. I do not know the female reporter's name interviewing Quentin Nelson, but Quentin Nelson is a guy that doesn't have a whole lot to say. Now, he was a little giddy at first, but listened, I think, to the third question. His answer is classic Quentin Nelson. I think you'll know it when you hear it. But this was from IndianapolisColts.com, an interview with the newest member of the Colts, Notre Dame's Quentin Nelson.
Are you excited to not go too far away from your Fighting Irish?
I'm definitely excited. I know my parents are super excited. They're going to go to every Notre Dame game on Saturday and then come straight to Indianapolis Colts Stadium on Sunday. They bought a house out here when I committed to Notre Dame. So they're super jacked up that they don't have to move somewhere else.
Oh, that sounds like the perfect football weekend. I would love to be able to do that. So maybe congratulations to your family as well for this, but just this entire process. I mean, it's been an insane couple of months since you finished playing ball in college and getting ready for the draft. Are you just ready now to be able to say that you're in the NFL and an Indianapolis Colt?
Yeah, I'm super excited to be a part of the program and block for Andrew Luck and all the great running backs they have and play next to Costanzo, Ryan Kelly, Jack Muhor, all those guys they have on the offensive line and play and be coached by Coach Googe. So I'm very excited.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you were tagged as one of the guys that could immediately come in and not only compete, but be a starter as a rookie. Are you excited to be able to come in and just start right away and get competing?
Yes, I'm excited.
Awesome, awesome.
Are you excited? Yes, I'm excited. That's classic Quentin there.
That is Quentin. I think at the combine, somebody asked him a question, and he said, you know, somebody asked him, do you ever think about such and such? And he goes, no, I don't, but since you asked the question, I'll answer it.
That was too good. Quentin, thank you for that. That was a classic answer by Big Q. So, Colts general manager Chris Ballard had a press conference following the selection of Quentin Nelson, and this was Ballard's reaction to the Colts getting their guy at number six, Quentin Nelson.
So excited about Quentin Nelson. You know, when Frank, you know, me and Frank have talked a long time about, you know, fixing, you win games up front. I mean, I mentioned that last week to y'all. And Quentin Nelson, we thought, was the best offensive lineman in the draft. He's got everything we want in terms of character, work ethic, toughness, passion for the game. And he is going to be great for this team and great for the city of Indianapolis. So we're extremely excited to get him.
Chris, what was it about him that you saw in film that you thought he'll be a good fit here in Indy?
I saw him a year ago, actually. I'm close friends with Harry Hiestand, the O-line coach who's now in Chicago, and we were together at one point in Chicago, and he spoke glowingly about him, you know, even a year ago. He thought this kid had real pro potential. But just his, look, he's good as both as a run blocker and pass pro. He's nasty, he's tough, he's everything we want to stand for as a team. His character is all, his football character is off the charts. And that's something we want to keep adding. He is demanding. He'll be demanding of his teammates to perform, and he'll be demanding on himself to perform. He'll come in and earn it like every rookie has to. But he's a unique guy. Got unique size, bend, strength, power, everything you look for in interior linemen.
Two things. Number one, a lot of times in these interviews, you get a lot of coach speak or front office speak. But we can say everything he said about Quentin Nelson is true. He has him nailed perfectly.
Yeah, he does. And I think one of the things that's kind of interesting is how much Quentin improved. I mean, he was a really good player in 2016. But I think in Pro Football Focus, on their ratings, he was 90th offensive lineman overall in 2016 and moved all the way up near the top in 2017. And so he deserves a lot of credit for that. And I think, Darren, too, something that helped McGlinchey and Nelson both with being drafted so high is the fact that Zach Martin and Ronnie Stanley have turned out. I definitely think that's a positive sign. It's one thing for them to get drafted high. It's another thing for them to be so productive and so professional about the way they go about their work. You know, Aaron Taylor talked about it in a story I did for draft night, where he talked about that he wasn't that consummate professional. He tripped into alcoholism. He had other problems where he wasn't hydrating right, and didn't pay attention to diet. And these guys really do. That's one thing that Aaron said. Harry Hiestand, the best gift that he gave them was the mental state to be professionals, that they know how to do it, not only with the bend and the blocking and all that stuff. They know how to do it off the field to make sure that they're coming to work 100% effective.
Second of all, does everybody have a friendship with Harry Hiestand? Chris Ballard mentioned it. A couple other GMs mentioned it. He's just a guy that seems to have a relationship with everybody.
Who wouldn't be friends with Harry?
I would want to be. Well, again, Coach Long, Chip Long, the offensive coordinator for Notre Dame, used to go on walks with Harry just to talk football.
Well, I mean, he doesn't like to do a lot with the media, but he is a pretty friendly guy. I know.
Oh, yeah.
A couple years ago on the when we were doing the Radio Row thing with the assistant coaches, and I wasn't able to get there in time for Harry's interviews, and he had just gotten done talking with you, he saw me and he came over and we chatted 15 minutes about offensive line stuff. It was fun. I learned so much in that 15 minutes. It was awesome.
Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you, Sports Beat on WSBT Radio. Now let's move along to what happened at pick number 9 as we look back at last night's NFL draft. The San Francisco 49ers were on the clock.
With the 9th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mike McGlinchey, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
So, as we've talked about through this process, McGlinchey on mock drafts has been all over the place. We've seen him in the second round. We saw him creep into the top 10. Well, sure enough, when reality took place, the NFL Draft last night, it was pick number 9. McGlinchey goes to the San Francisco 49ers. What's interesting about the Niners roster when you saw the draft last night, they've got Joe Staley at left tackle, veteran player, really good player at left tackle, 2 years left on his contract. We also saw that right tackle Trent Brown, he's played 21 games the last 2 years. He's got 1 year left on his contract, and he's coming off a torn labrum. So they assumed he was going to be ready to go in the fall, but you never know. Well, we found out today that the San Francisco 49ers have traded right tackle Trent Brown to the New England Patriots, Eric, opening the door for Mike McGlinchey to have an outstanding opportunity to be the starting right tackle for the 49ers on opening day.
Absolutely. I had a lot of this in my story that I rewrote like at 1:30 in the morning, and it got overwrote today by somebody else, and so the original version is back online. But I hope to have those details here when we get done with the radio show. That's frustrating. However, it's a great situation for Mike McGlinchey. He will come in. Kyle Shanahan, I should say, said last night that, and he's the 49ers' first-year head coach, he said that they would start McGlinchey out at right tackle, but their vision for him is left tackle long-term. Mm. Joe Staley, you mentioned, is the starting left tackle. Interestingly, that's a Brian Kelly, Jeff Quinn project from Central Michigan. He was a high school wide receiver that came to Central Michigan to play tight end. And then Brian Kelly, after his freshman year, came in as the new coach and said, we're moving you to tackle. Staley was in tears. He almost transferred. But Jeff Quinn and Brian Kelly developed him into a first-round draft choice. San Francisco picked him in the first round of the 2007 draft. And he has been with them ever since. But he's going to be 34 at the start of the season, 2 years left on his contract. So this is going to be a nice transition for McGlinchey. You know, Kyle Shanahan mentioned he thought McGlinchey could even play guard. He said he can't play center. He's too tall. But he could play guard if they needed him. And they are just thrilled with McGlinchey. You know, John Lynch, the GM, said that they had decided a week ago they were going to take him at 9. If he wasn't there at 9, they were going to trade out of the pick. But McGlinchey, they were going to stick with it. And they were thrilled when the Bears picked Roquan Smith and McGlinchey was still there.
John Lynch was an awfully good safety in the NFL for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Denver Broncos. Now in his second year, rebuilding the 49ers. He got Jimmy Garoppolo from New England for a second-round pick, and that seems to be a trade that's going to benefit San Francisco for many years to come. And now a guy in charge of protecting the franchise quarterback is Mike McGlinchey. And here's what John Lynch had to say after picking Mike McGlinchey of Notre Dame last night.
Extremely excited with what transpired here. Mike McGlinchey is a guy that we've been excited about for some time. Would tell you that about a week ago, you know, we go through the process. The scouts do all their homework, ongoing process that goes, you know, year long and goes into last year. And Mike McGlinchey is a guy we've scouted for a long time, but just kept gaining steam. The more we watched him, the more we liked him. And I would tell you that, you know, throughout this process, we get the scouts. I explained the process the other day. The scouts come in, the coaches come in. And every time Kyle and I kept watching him, he just kept getting better. And you go into the makeup of the kid, one of the smartest players in the draft, off the charts in terms of his presence. Our combine interview, I was just looking at my notes upstairs, and one of the top interviews, and just in terms of presence and makeup. And it's a guy, two-time captain at Notre Dame, started 39 straight games. He's healthy. We felt like both in the short term and in the long term at a premium position, particularly when you've just invested in a quarterback. And more so than that, just an important position in football. And you couple that with take the position. Who are the players that excite you most? This was a guy. And last week we decided that if he's there at 9, he's the guy we're taking. We had other players that we had to prepare. And
that is the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, John Lynch. And when he talked about McGlinchey last night, when the media was asking, you know, is he going to play right away? You got a left tackle, you got a right tackle. He talked about competition, but I think Lynch or Shanahan, one of the two, made the comment that we didn't bring him in to sit, that he's going to be a big part of who we are. Little did we know, and maybe it was in the works already, that they're shipping their right tackle, Trent Brown, to the New England Patriots, and Mike McGlinchey will have every opportunity to be the starting right tackle on a team that could be blossoming very quickly into a playoff contender. You got the quarterback in place. You got a chance. And if The end of last year was any indication Garoppolo looked like the real deal, and he could be a heck of a steal in the second round. I mean, take a step back. If you're picking in the top 10 last night and you want a quarterback, so if you're Cleveland who took Mayfield, the Jets who took Darnold, you had the Cardinals who took Rosen, and
who said the 9 picks ahead of him were all mistakes.
Yes, yeah, we'll see about that. And Josh Allen goes to Buffalo. If any of those four teams, hypothetically, would have had New England come to them last night, and they still had Garoppolo, we'll give you Garoppolo for your number 1 pick, or number 3, or number 7, or number 10. Do you think any of those four teams would not have done that? You see the point I'm making?
Yeah.
Garoppolo is the best choice out of all those, in my opinion, and New England only got a second round pick for him.
Right.
Last year.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying it could be one heck of a steal for the San Francisco 49ers. He would have been the number one pick, so to speak, in the draft. If I'm Cleveland, you'd have to think long and hard about saying, hey, we'll take Garoppolo for a first-round pick. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make. That
I thought you made it very well.
No, you were looking at me like, what in the heck is he talking about?
I've got a point that I'd like to make about Harry Hiestand. I know there's a lot of historical stuff here. But let me tell you, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 offensive linemen that got drafted during the Hiestand era.
Okay.
Okay. The only one that came in higher in his rival's rank than his draft was Chris Watt, and it was almost the same. He came in as the number 77 player to Notre Dame. He left it as the number 89 player. Then came Zach Martin, not a top 250 player, number 16. Nick Martin, not a top 250 player, number 50 in the draft. Ronnie Stanley, 176, 6 in the draft. McGlinchey, not 250, top 250, number 9. And even Nelson, who was number 29, goes 6. So there's some player development for you.
Or is that people in the position at those websites who get paid a lot by football fans across the country to learn about these players, not correctly analyzing these people coming out of high school? I know the development's a part of it, but I'm sorry. Shouldn't be able to see a guy that could blossom into something very important if you're good at your job?
I would say in some of those cases you're correct, and in some of those cases maybe not so much, just because I don't know that Nick Martin was that highly recruited of a player. Like, he was committed to Kentucky, and then Notre Dame said, hey, we really like you, and they swayed him. But I think probably with a guy like Ronnie Stanley, he was probably underrated. You know, Bishop Gorman wasn't the national powerhouse that it is now. You know, and Ronnie was a really good basketball player in addition to being an offensive lineman. He's really athletic. McGlinchey, I don't know. I mean, small school ball, a guy that played tight end, a lot of tight end in high school. But give Harry credit for developing those guys, because again, you're talking about Notre Dame from 2000 to 2012 had 2 first round picks, and from 1995 to 2015 had 0 top 10 picks. They've had 4 offensive linemen alone in the last few cycles under Harry Hiestand, starting with Zach Martin. Four offensive linemen in the last 5 that are first round draft choices. And you've had 3 top 10 picks in the last 2 cycles after having none for 21 years. So there's something to the Harry Hiestand. Whether those people with the star ratings are good at their jobs or not, he certainly has produced, and so has Brian Kelly from that standpoint.
I think it might have been Pete Sampson from Irish Illustrated that tweeted this. Brian Kelly has coached 103 games at Notre Dame.
Yes.
And a first-round pick has started at left tackle in all 103 starts.
Right. Their last 3 offensive tackles have all gone as first-round draft picks. The guy before that, can you name the guy that was the left tackle before that?
Before Zach Martin?
Before Zach Martin. He was a 1-year starter there. At left tackle.
Drawing a blank.
Paul Duncan.
Wow. Yeah. Paul Duncan.
Yeah.
And by the way, no pressure, Liam Eichenberg.
Yeah. Sam Young was over on the right side. He did play some left tackle, but he was right tackle his last year, and Paul Duncan was on the left. Now, Sam got drafted in the later rounds and is still playing football in the NFL. But, yeah, the last three, and I kind of wondered, and I have to find it a really good way to research it so that it's not going to take me days, if any other program has ever been able to put together a run like that. I would imagine somebody might, but, boy, three first-rounders at left tackle position, that's something. You know, three consecutive, yeah.
Quentin Nelson to the Colts, Mike McGlinchey to the 49ers. So who's next? How many Irish could be picked tonight? What about on Saturday? That's our next topic as SportsBeat continues on WSBT Radio, brought to you by Budweiser, Blackthorn Golf Club, Goshen Health System, and Laban Insurance from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Matt, thank you very much. SportsBeat, live from Four Winds Field on 96.1 WSBT. Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett with you on this Friday evening. Cubs baseball tonight against Great Lakes from downtown South Bend. Brendan King will have our pregame starting at 7:20. We'll have the call of the first pitch tonight at 7:35. Fireworks after the ball game tonight. It's Friday, so we'll have some fireworks after the game. We continue on with a look back at last night's NFL draft opening segment. We spent time talking about the Colts taking Irish offensive guard Quentin Nelson and the 49ers picking Irish offensive tackle Mike McGlinchey. Now, what could happen tonight and tomorrow as we focus in on Notre Dame prospects trying to find a home in the National Football League? So tonight is round two and round three of the NFL draft. It seems like, Eric, there's really only one possibility, realistically, from Notre Dame that could go tonight. Is that Equanimeous St. Brown?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, Josh Adams, I think early projections was trending a little bit higher, where that maybe his high end would be third round. The fact that he had a foot injury and there was, you know, already durability issues with him, I think is going to knock him down almost, you know, maybe to round six or seven, although I think he's got better talent than that. I know Charlie Weiss was advocating on a Sirius XM radio show that Josh Adams was going to be a really good value for somebody. But I think Equanimeous is the only one that has any chance, really, to go tonight. And I'm not so sure that that's a slam dunk. I think, you know, I've seen him anywhere from third round to seventh round, and there's not a lot of unanimity on him. I think people like his size and like his speed. He ran sub 4.5 at the NFL Combine, which is really good. They like his bloodlines. His dad was a former Mr. Universe. I think there's some worry about, is that dad going to become baggage? He really wasn't at Notre Dame. And is Equanimeous soft? Is he a guy that's mean enough to be, you know, in the NFL, boundary receiver is a little bit different because the hash marks are different. So it's not the differences between the two outside receivers are a little bit less distinct. But is he going to be a guy that's mean enough to go after great corners and say, get out of my way and give me the ball? And so I think that's the real question with Equanimeous. You know, at the Combine, it was an interesting conversation with him that we had. And then he didn't care what round he went in. He didn't come out because he thought, I have nothing. He just said, I'm ready. I went to college to be a pro football player, and it's time. So if he goes in the third round, if he goes in the sixth round, he doesn't care. So he's definitely an interesting kid. He's, you know, there's been 16 juniors that have come out, true juniors that have come out of Notre Dame since they opened the door to underclassmen in 1989. In the first 25 years, there were 8 kids that took advantage of it. In the last 5, there have been 8 kids that have taken advantage of it. Only 3 of them have been number one picks out of the first 14. And he's obviously not one of them, nor is Josh Adams. He's an intriguing kid because I was on a radio show with the Giants people, and they asked me about him, and I probably came off a little bit negative. I don't see him as a great pro. I just don't think he has the mental makeup, because I didn't see it last year. I realized that Brandon Wimbush wasn't completing 50% of his passes, and yet I didn't see Equanimeous helping that situation.
Now, and I agree with you. He is slipping on draft boards, according to these draft experts. In fact, I think there was one source. He's not even one of the top 10 guys at wide receiver on the board starting tonight. Now, that's just one person's opinion.
Right.
You look at the measurables. He looks the part. Physically, yeah. Size, arm length, he looks the part. To me, at this point of his career, he's a poor man's Demaryius Thomas, the old Georgia Tech wide receiver with the Denver Broncos. I feel like he could be that type of guy. But, Eric, after watching him at Notre Dame, and you just pointed out the compete level for football is in the air. You got to win those battles in the NFL. The margin for error is so slim, you got to help your quarterback. That's why when I use my ultimate test as a Bronco fan, do I want the Broncos to draft him? And he's the one guy out of all the Notre Dame players I couldn't have a definitive answer yet. Some are definite yes, some are definite no. I went back and forth on him, and I'm leaning toward no. I just feel like we should have seen more from him last year. Even though Brandon's passes at times were off the mark, the crossing patterns, how many times was he open and the pass was off the mark? I get that. But there were still other plays to be made that were left on the field by a guy with that type of ability.
Right, and I just think he kind of is a no-moss kind of guy. You know, if it gets too tough, if he's, you know, he's not a guy that's going to play through pain, and not saying that you should play through
sure.
a serious injury, but sometimes when you're bumped and bruised, you got to kind of tough it up and get in there, and he just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. Now, again, maybe he, you know, with maturity, that he kind of grows out of that stage, but I just didn't see that with him. And I think the most dramatic part of that was when Equanimeous got moved over to the open side of the field, and Miles Boykin was the boundary receiver in the bowl game. And Miles Boykin played the boundary receiver like you want to see it played, where he just was going to own that boundary, and against an LSU pass defense. I mean, we're talking a top 10 pass defense in the country, and Miles Boykin was doing that against those guys.
I will not be shocked if St. Brown is taken in the third round today.
Yeah, I won't, because all it takes is one team to fall in love with you. But I would say slightly less than 50% chance he goes tonight.
All right, let's talk about three other players. Tight end Durham Smythe.
He's going to get picked. I like him. I don't think he's going to be a star in the league, but I think he has a chance to play a long time because of his work ethic.
He's a number two.
Professional, yeah. He's a number two tight end.
Nothing wrong with that.
And, you know, he can catch, he can block, he's complete. You know, he's a good athlete, and he's going to be a really good teammate, and somebody's going to be happy to get him in the later rounds.
I've seen a couple of mocks where he goes in the third round, but I think he's probably a Saturday guy.
I think he's a Saturday guy.
Okay. Running back Josh Adams.
I have really mixed feelings about Josh. I like his mental makeup. I like the fact that, you know, he was a kid that was a three-star player that became much more of a college player than a lot of people thought he was going to be. And I think he made a good decision coming out, because he's had durability issues. What are the chances, if he got hurt his senior year, of him getting drafted at all? You know, Josh has to round out his game in terms of being a better receiver. But I think there's a lot to like about him. If you get him on Saturday, I'd be pretty happy if I were a team and got him. And we'll see what he turns into. But I don't think Josh Adams is soft. I think, you know, he has legitimate durability issues, and he tried to play through them.
And there's a difference between
right,
those two.
Right. And so, you know, if he can stay healthy, I think he can be a productive player in the NFL.
Go back to my test, Durham Smythe. Do I want my team to take him? Absolutely. I'd want him on my football team.
Yeah.
Josh Adams is a definite no.
Okay.
There's too many red flags, Eric. There's too many red flags at a position where the shelf life is already very short.
I can understand that. I mean, the durability question is going to come up.
Now he's at the highest level.
Yeah.
Where it's tough. All right, finally, what do you think about Niles Morgan?
I would love to have him in my camp.
I would too.
I think that he has a potential to be a better player at the next level. I don't know that he'd be a starter, but he could be a special teams player and a backup. He's really fast. I think we saw the real Niles Morgan in 2016. I think in 2017 he was a guy that played through a bad shoulder injury the whole year, didn't complain about it, but you could kind of tell the whole year that he wasn't right, and sure enough, he had to have shoulder surgery in January. He ran pretty well at pro day, given the fact he had only been cleared like a week and a half or two before. I just like him. I think Niles is the kind of guy you want in your locker room.
15 seconds. Anybody else that has a chance to be drafted from Notre Dame?
I don't think Martini or Trombetti are going to get drafted.
Okay, we'll come back and look ahead to next year's draft. Who might be the top five prospects from the Irish camp? We'll tell you next on WSBT.
One question, five answers. This is the My Five Question of the Day on Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Well, there are still six rounds to go in the NFL draft for 2018, but that's not going to stop us from looking ahead to next year. Eric will answer today's My Five. Who will be the top Notre Dame prospects for the 2019 NFL draft? And when you picked your five, did you project guys possibly leaving? How did you attack this?
Yeah, I looked at there's 13 players with expiring eligibility, and then I picked four players that would have junior eligibility that would come out possibly. Julian Love, Alize Mack, Chase Claypool, Miles Boykin.
Woo.
So, and then so I have a combination of from each of these lists. So I'm going to start at number five with Alex Bars. Alex Bars, offensive guard. He was at Quentin Nelson's last night. He was watching all this. I'm thinking he's saying, is this going to be me next year? I think if right now he'd be kind of a middle-round pick, he's going to have to play himself up into a higher, which is exactly what McGlinchey and Nelson did. I mean, Quentin was a second-round projection last year, played himself into a top-six pick.
Great thing is, being a part of the He-Stand tree and now Jeff Quinn, he's going to get every opportunity to be looked at. He'll probably get second and third looks because of where he plays. Number four.
Number four, I'm going to go with Alize Mack. And I know that that's rolling the dice, but I'm going to say this is the year he gets it done. I am not doing that with conviction because he's just been too inconsistent in his career. But, you know, maybe as a senior, there's a maturity where he walks the walk this time.
Who will be the top Notre Dame prospects in the 19 NFL draft? Player number three.
I'm going to go with Julian Love. And I think Julian's a guy that could play safety or corner at the next level. Very active with passes broken up. Really good ball skills when he does get an interception. So there's a lot to like about him. If he makes the same kind of jump from last year to this year in 2018, look out, because he'll be quite the prospect.
Player number two.
Number two, I'm going to go with Tavon Coney. And I think what's going to be the knock against Tavon, I mean, some of it's being a middle linebacker. They're not as valued as outside linebackers. And the fact that he's shorter, but he's so productive and he's so good with play diagnosis. And again, if he makes another step with his game like we think he will, you know, there's going to be an interesting debate about how he fits into the next level.
And we're up to number one, the top Notre Dame prospect in the 2019 NFL draft. I bet you he wears 9-9.
He does, and he was, like Coney, decided to come back for a year.
Jerry Tillery.
Jerry Tillery, he's playing a position this year, defensive tackle, or the three technique, as Darren likes to call it, instead of the nose guard, which is going to showcase his talents. Scott Wright mentioned on our show Tuesday night position versatility.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot to like about Jerry Tillery, and possibly in a first-round conversation, but he needs to have another year where he makes a jump.
That's the Buy 5 question of the day from WSBT Radio. I want you to touch on one other storyline today. Shea Patterson, Ole Miss quarterback, transferring to Michigan. He was granted his eligibility today. So what does that mean for September 1st?
That means he's likely going to be starting September 1st, and he's a different quarterback than the ones they have already on the roster, which are more dual threats. But Shea Patterson has elite skills. That's a win for Michigan in being able to have him on the field in that game, because he's an experienced quarterback, and he's going to test Notre Dame's defense. I think the good thing about Notre Dame's defense is this is the best defense they've had since 2012, and they're especially talented at cornerback, even with Nick Watkins departing yesterday. So it's going to be a really fun game September 1st. This is going to be such a hype game by the time we get there.
No question. All right, we've got 40 seconds left before an update from CBS Sports. So why don't you tell us what's coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune Sports section?
Well, whether Equanimeous St. Brown gets drafted or not, we will have a NFL draft story. We're going to kind of look at junior trends, and I mentioned a couple of them tonight. And also, I thought Scott Wright's answer was great the other night about what would have happened to Kaiser had he come back.
Love that.
Yeah. Tyler will have a Notre Dame football recruiting notebook. And, of course, Darren, there's much, much more.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right. That's Eric Hansen. I'm Darren Pritchett. It's the top of the hour. Sean joins us in just a couple of moments at WSBT South Bend.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone! The Irish have come back!
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
And this is the second hour of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat for this Friday. Sean Stiers back in our WSBT studios. I'm Darren Pritchett at Four Winds Field in downtown South Bend. The South Bend Cubs and the Great Lakes Loons will open up a three-game series tonight. Brendan King will have the pregame at 7:20. I'll have the call the first pitch at 7:35 here on WSBT Radio. Until we get to 7 o'clock, an hour of Sports Beat coming your way. We'll take a look back at what the Chicago Bears accomplished last night at the NFL Draft. Also, we will take a look at the top 9 picks, a lot of interesting local storylines there. We've got rapid fire on the way, and we'll wrap up the program with a little baseball talk. We can tell you that earlier today at Wrigley Field, the Chicago Cubs edged the Milwaukee Brewers 3-2. Chicago is now 13-10 in the National League Central. More on the South Bend Cubs, Chicago White Sox in just a little bit here on WSBT Radio. But why don't we spend a couple of moments on the Chicago Bears, pick number 8 in last night's NFL draft. When we had our mock draft the other day, Pete Byrne from WSBT 22 was our guest Bears picker, and he went with a Georgia linebacker by the name of Roquan Smith. Well, when reality occurred last night, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League, came to the podium, and with pick number 8, the Chicago Bears went with...
With the 8th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Roquan Smith, linebacker, Georgia.
And Pete Byrne was right on the money. He got Roquan Smith exactly right. And I think, again, as I kind of talked about in the first hour, Sean, the key pick to me in the top 10 was Cleveland at number 4. They went with a need. They went with the cornerback from Ohio State, Denzel Ward. He may turn out to be a great pro. Don't get me wrong. But it opened the door for the two best players in the draft, arguably, to go next in Bradley Chubb to Denver and Quentin Nelson to the Indianapolis Colts. And with another quarterback going before the Bears pick, they've got their quarterback, they believe. They were able to pick a high-end guy. So at the end of the day, basically, the Bears had a choice realistically, after the Browns' pick of Chubb, Nelson, or Smith. So they walked away with arguably one of the premier pass rushers. Well, and he's going to be probably an inside linebacker with the Bears, but he can get after the quarterback from the inside. I feel like the Bears got a lot accomplished last night. And again, I think the Browns have a lot to do with that, with going with Denzel Ward.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I don't think anyone was expecting Cleveland to go Denzel Ward at number four. He was definitely the most highly regarded cornerback of this group of draftees, but at the same time, no one saw him, I don't believe, at number four. So it did. It had a ripple effect in what some of these other teams were able to do afterwards, and it's a good pick for Chicago at number eight. It sets them up defensively. They needed to get better defensively. They haven't had anyone close to the caliber of Brian Urlacher since he retired, so now they've got a really good linebacker to sit in there at number eight.
Bears roster looks a whole lot different than it did a year ago at this time. There's actually a little hope building. They're in a tough division. Minnesota in win mode right now, as long as Aaron Rodgers is behind center in Green Bay, even though they've had some deficiencies elsewhere on their team. With Aaron Rodgers healthy, they're going to be a playoff team. And the Lions have a new head coach. Let's see what happens there. So the Bears are in a tough division right now to try to rebuild, but I just feel like there's a little hope, especially if Trubisky can be an average quarterback right now in the National Football League. I think they can run it. The defense is getting a little better piece by piece, and maybe you get a whole lot better with Smith at linebacker. So I'm not saying they're going to go 8-8. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I think if you're a Bears fan, you have to feel like with your new head coach in a different direction, they might be getting close in the next year and a half to being a team that could possibly push for a playoff spot. Am I being overly optimistic? And no. Trubisky has a lot to do with it. That's the key.
Yeah, I mean, Trubisky was good. I mean, he completed 60% of his passes last year. And seven interceptions for a rookie quarterback, it's not a horrible number. He was even in touchdowns and interceptions. So you know he's going to be the quarterback. Jordan Howard turned out to be a pretty good running back last year. I mean, he was kind of a surprise. So you've got a good foundation there. You've got a guy you can hand the ball off to. Receiver is probably the next thing. I don't know exactly what they're going to get out of that receiving core. So, and maybe that gets addressed next for Chicago. But, again, you get a really good piece on the defensive side of the ball. There's still some building there, but there's at least a solid foundation in place to move forward this season.
So, Roquan Smith from Georgia, picked at number eight by the Chicago Bears. And after his selection, he answered a few questions from the media in New York City.
Hey, Ray, what should Bears fans expect to see from you when you're on the field?
I said a tremendous leader, first and foremost, but a guy with tremendous instincts, a lot of range as well, and just get to the ball.
Tell me, what do you know about the Bears linebacker history, and what's it feel like now that you might fall in line there?
It's tremendous history. Way back with Dick Butkus, George, Mike Singletary, Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher, all of those guys. So just falling in line with that rich tradition, it's surreal, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
How much time did you spend with Vic Fangio when you visited the Bears, and did you get to know anything about him or the defense?
Absolutely, I did. I spent a great amount of time with Coach, and I know a lot about the defense and what he done throughout his time out in San Fran on the West Coast, coaching up guys like LaVarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. So it was tons of guys. He coached a lot of talent.
Did you expect the Bears at eight?
I had no idea. You know, you never can put anything over past any team, but I was expecting to go anywhere and just, you know, to call Chicago home now is great, and I can't wait to get to work.
Some of the comments of Roquan Smith, the newest member of the Chicago Bears. The draft can be a lot about hypotheticals and what-ifs. It's not reality, but I just wonder if the Colts go a different direction than Quentin Nelson at six. The Bills moved up to get a quarterback, so let's keep them out of the conversation. Had it been the Bears on the clock with Nelson and Smith on the board, what direction do they go? I've thought about this all morning. I've went back and forth. Part of me says I think they go Quentin Nelson. My gut is they're going to take Quentin Nelson, but you can't go wrong with the guy they got. I think it's a great pick, but I just wonder if Nelson's on the board, what do they do? That would have made the choice a little more difficult.
Yeah, it would have. I have to think that they were going to take Quentin Nelson if he was there. But I mean, I think that would be too hard for them to pass up again because they with Harry Hiestand there, with the identity that they're trying to build and the fact that they, again, you want to protect that young quarterback. I have to think that they would go there, but you're right. It does become a lot different decision for him if he is there. It's so they had their decision made for him, I guess.
Well, and there's a lot of what ifs, but with the Browns taking Denzel Ward, I mean, I've established you could argue the two best players in the draft then fell to Denver and Indianapolis, Chubb and Nelson. Then you could even keep the dominoes going further that the Bills did not have to give up as much moving up to 7 rather than 5 or 6. So the Denzel Ward actually, that pick benefited Buffalo. They didn't have to move up any higher, and probably Denver and Indianapolis didn't want to move out of that spot with those two players available at that particular moment. So I also think that maybe the 49ers wouldn't have had a chance to get McGlinchey possibly at 9. But I really think that Denzel Ward was the turning point pick. He's a guy, I'm not sure where he would have fit into the first round. At Cleveland went a different direction. All I know is that you take a look at the Alabama defensive back, Minka
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick. I had Alexander in my head. Fitzpatrick. I mean, he fell all the way into the teens.
I was really surprised, and that's what I thought. If it was going to be defensive back for Cleveland, I was thinking it was going to be Fitzpatrick. Obviously, you're talking about a safety versus a corner. They decided corner was the bigger need for him, but that's where I thought Fitzpatrick would have gone if it was going to be defensive back for Cleveland.
And I want to make this clear. I'm not picking on Cleveland. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. It's so easy just to pick on Cleveland after all the last years. I'm not saying it's a bad pick, but I think it just made a lot of people happy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right because no one had Ward going in the top 10. Cleveland decided that their need was what they needed to address rather than go a different direction. And you look at the fact that Chubb was there, for example, and I saw someone, one of the NFL guys last night on Twitter talking about, well, you just drafted Myles Garrett high last year, so if you go Chubb, another premium defensive end that high in the draft, then as you start to look down the line at contracts when you've got to take care of these guys, that's a lot of money because you're talking about two premium defensive ends who were drafted that high.
Sean and Darren with you talking about the Chicago Bears going with Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. One more soundbite as we talk about the Bears. This is from Golic and Wingo this morning on WSBT Radio. Trey Wingo wasn't on the show as of yet. It was Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. interviewing former Chicago Bear and now analyst on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, Tom Waddle.
The last couple of years here in Chicago, they have drafted potential over production. Everyone's still very, very optimistic that Mitchell Trubisky will be the quarterback of this team for the next decade. Leonard Floyd 2 years ago was a guy that, you know, had a lot of interesting qualities and a lot of potential as well, but didn't have the on-the-field production at Georgia that you would like because they moved him around. Not the case with Roquan Smith. This is truly one of those picks, as they say, production over potential, and he'll slide right in, plug and play, and you won't have to worry about that other inside linebacker position. But, yeah, you think, yeah, you know, this is the town where linebackers really are the guys that grab the headlines. Brian Urlacher will go into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Mike Singletary is there. Dick Butkus. We've had a lot of great linebackers, and here's hoping Roquan Smith fills that role.
Yeah, last year it was Christian Jones who led in tackles by one over Danny Trevathan. So those are your leading tacklers last year. As far as that pick, because so many people had attached the guard Quentin Nelson, who ended up going number 6 to the Colts with the Bears at number 8. What would have been that decision, Tommy? I know, I'm sure the Bears will say, we got the guy we wanted. But if both were available at 8, do you think this is still the route they would have gone?
I think they probably would have taken Nelson. And look, I don't know. I'm not in there, and we're all out on the edge. But you guys obviously are very familiar with Harry Hiestand, who was the offensive line coach at Notre Dame, who was Quentin Nelson's coach there. He's now the offensive line coach here in Chicago. There's obviously familiarity there. They drafted Mitch, as we talked about, with the second pick of the draft last year. So securing the pocket, especially on the interior, is something that is of high priority. So I think if Quentin Nelson was there, I think they would have taken him. I don't think there's a lot of regret that he went to the Indianapolis Colts and they were left with Roquan Smith. I think the guy that was at the top of their board, and again, just speculation, was Bradley Chubb. And I think the Denver Broncos couldn't get to the podium fast enough to put that pick in. I don't think they were expecting him to be there at five. I think Chubb, Nelson, and Roquan Smith, that was the dream threesome for the Bears to have an opportunity to pick, and Smith was still on the board, so I think they're very happy with what they got at eight.
One pick, they have pick number 39 in the second round, and that's it for day two. The third round pick was traded away, so, you know, could it be someone like a Christian Kirk from Texas A&M, a James Washington, Oklahoma State, or a different position? Where do you think they go?
I think wide receiver, Mike, is a very good possibility. And they addressed the offense in free agency. We all know Allen Robinson was a huge signing for them. They added Taylor Gabriel. They also added a pass-catching tight end who's built like a wide receiver or built like a tight end and plays like a wide receiver in Trey Burton. So they've helped Mitchell out in the offensive huddle. I don't believe that means they won't draft a receiver. So, yeah, I think they could go wide receiver. I think if Harold Landry, the Boston College edge rusher, is there, he is definitely a possibility. I think their biggest need right now is pass rusher. So I think if there is a pass rusher that they have rated highly on the board is there at 39, that's where I think they would go, but certainly wouldn't rule out a wide receiver. And the guys you mentioned obviously would fit that spot very well.
Some of the comments of Tom Waddle, former Bears wide receiver, now analyst on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. That interview on Wingo and the Golic Show on WSBT Radio this morning. You can hear Golic and Wingo from 5 to 10 from 96.1 WSBT. All right, Sean, let's just kind of go. I guess I'm going to steal from your thunder a little rapid fire. Picks 1 through 9 in the NFL draft last night. We'll just each throw out a quick thought on what occurred at that pick. And the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, went to the podium each time to pass along each team's pick. And there was a lot of build up to the first pick, a lot of drama with the first pick. We haven't seen this in a while. But there was some doubt who was going to be number one. But an Oklahoma quarterback, his name started to pick up steam throughout the day yesterday. And then last night, the Browns were on the clock.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Oklahoma.
Sean, to me, he is the most exciting quarterback in this class.
Definitely.
And I say that even with the Louisville quarterback, Lamar Jackson, being explosive. And I've heard a couple of analysts say this, and I agree with them. This is not my original thought. This is me listening, and I'm agreeing with this. But if Baker Mayfield's 6'3", 2 months ago, we would have known the Cleveland Browns were going to take Baker Mayfield. I think it's his height that caused a lot of stress. And also some of his antics on and off the field was a major concern. I don't think he's Johnny Manziel as he's being portrayed by some.
Right.
But I just think he's a guy that's a little shorter than you want, not your normal number one pick. But if he's 6'3", I don't think there's any doubt who the Browns took last night.
No, I think his height is the biggest knock on him because he makes plays. He's an athletic guy. I think he's maybe stereotyped as a running quarterback. He's got some mobility, but he's not just going to take off downfield. But he's got both a strong arm and accuracy. He completed over 70% of his passes the last 2 years, 69% for his career. So, I mean, he's accurate. And, yeah, the stuff on the field is the biggest knock. I said this with Evan Sharpley earlier today on the Leprechaun Lunch. I mean, Phillip Rivers has been a guy who, especially earlier in his career, was pretty active with his mouth and some of his stuff on the field, too. And he doesn't get that kind of criticism. So I think you're right. I mean, if Baker Mayfield was 2 or 3 inches taller, we wouldn't be having a lot of the conversations. He's fun to watch, and I'm definitely pulling for him in Cleveland.
I am, too. the city of Cleveland needs someone excitable that will bring a new breath of fresh air almost to that city when it comes to football, and Mayfield could do that. So next up was the New York Football Giants.
With the second pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State.
Sean, for me, two things come to mind. The Giants are going for it with Eli Manning as their quarterback. They are going to try to milk the last couple of years out of his career. They're giving him quite a weapon. You still got Odell Beckham at wide receiver. So now you give him Saquon Barkley, an extremely exciting running back. With that being said, I get nervous taking a running back that high. The shelf life is so much shorter than some of these other players that we're going to be talking about. That's the negative, but I do give the Giants credit. They are going to try to win with Eli Manning. They're going to give it one more run to see what they can accomplish with a guy that's already helped them win two Super Bowls.
And if they get Odell Beckham Jr. healthy all season, and you've got Barkley, and you've got Manning, that's a pretty good trio right there. The thing that I look at when I look at that team, though, how are they going to protect Eli Manning? How are they going to block for Saquon Barkley? Because that's there was an issue last year, and it's become a bigger issue since their last Super Bowl. It's not like Jacksonville last year with Fournette and Dallas the year before with Elliott that had good offensive lines. There's some issues there in New York. So how are they going to protect and block for those guys?
Very good point. Sean and Darren with you. Sports Beat on WSBT Radio at 626. So the Giants take Saquon Barkley, and their crosstown friends, the New York Jets, have the next pick.
With the third pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC.
Of the quarterbacks taken, I think the safest pick. I think he's going to have a solid career. I'm not going to say spectacular, but that may come down to the fact how well he takes care of the football. He's going to have to do that a whole lot better in the NFL compared to USC.
Some people are already calling him Butt Fumble 2.0. So
oh, no, already?
After Sanchez, Mark Sanchez, and, of course, they're both USC quarterbacks, too. And I mean, Darnold is pretty accurate at 65%, but he did have 13 interceptions last year. He does have a strong arm and all that, but he also fumbled 8 times, and that was the most of anyone in the nation, his 8 fumbles lost last year. So it's not just the interceptions. He's got to figure out how he's going to protect that ball better when he's under duress, and he's going to be under duress with the Jets too.
Was it the first play at Notre Dame Stadium? The offensive USC took over near midfield and fumbled the football right off the bat. Now we go to the Cleveland Browns. They were up at number 4.
With the fourth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Denzel Ward, defensive back, Ohio State.
Now, the people in the crowd in Arlington, they're not rocket scientists when it comes to the draft, but you heard the gasp, like, what?
Ooh,
they did what? Well, the Browns came into this draft wanting a quarterback and a corner. That was their two biggest needs. To their credit, they feel like they filled those with number 1 and number 4. I've kind of beaten the dead horse about how that changed the draft, that pick, so I'm just going to just stop there. But I would say that was the one curveball that kind of got the draft really rolling.
Absolutely, and It was the first kind of shocker of the first round, and there weren't a ton of shockers, but there were some surprises in there anyway, and this was the first of them.
Could be a great pick, but it opened the door for arguably two of the best players in the draft to go next. Now, ESPN Radio had a little trouble with the audio of Denver's pick. There was a young man who benefited from St. Jude Hospital. He's a huge Bronco fan, wants to be a broadcaster. They had him make the pick, and his wireless mic, for whatever reason, on ESPN Radio did not get picked up. So I will pick for my team, I guess. The Denver Broncos, with pick number 5, selected Bradley Chubb, defensive end, North Carolina State. I was doing somersaults. I mean, I wanted to have a fiesta when the Browns took Denzel Ward, because I knew Denver was going to get one of the two best players in the draft, and that would be either Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson. I banged the table for Quentin Nelson for months. That's who I wanted, but I got to be honest. When Chubb fell to Denver, And, Sean, you look at the formula that just a couple of years ago won them Super Bowl 50. It was their ability to get after the quarterback. And Von Miller needed another right-hand man after Marcus Ware, a guy you watched in Dallas for so many years, retire after winning Super Bowl 50. You know, they had some parts that were okay, but Bradley Chubb has the ability to be, I'm not going to call him Von Miller or Khalil Mack, but he has the ability to do a lot of damage. And if you want to get back to the formula that won them the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, getting after the quarterback, Sean's a pretty good place to start. Bradley Chubb and Von Miller coming off the edge. I'm really excited to see that in just a few months.
Chubb had 10 sacks in each of his last 2 years at NC State. And if you can stop opposite Von Miller, then just like you said, I mean, you're going to get some pressure on quarterbacks. That's a good place for a rookie to be when he's got Von Miller on the other side.
And Derek Wolfe on the inside can do a lot of pushing up the middle. So there's going to be some real opportunities for Denver to get better really fast with that defense. So they went Chubb over Nelson. You know, as a part of me, I really wanted Quentin, but I get the pick and I'm happy with it. So the Indianapolis Colts had a little present drop into their lap.
With the sixth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Quentin Nelson.
Holy mackerel. Okay.
And that was Bill Polian, the old Colts front office man on ESPN Radio. He was thinking they were going to go a different direction. He thought they were going to take Roquan Smith from Georgia at that spot. That's why he reacted in that way. You know, I'm not going to waste a lot of breath. We know who Quentin Nelson is. Talented, desire, emotional, wants to win. And I don't know if we'll ever see a better guard at Notre Dame than Quentin Nelson. He took his craft and took it to another level at the University of Notre Dame. So you look at Indianapolis, Costanza, Nelson, and Kelly on the left side of that offensive line. Andrew Luck's going to sleep very well tonight knowing that that could be the three on the left side of the offensive line.
That's it. You've got to protect Andrew Luck or whoever the quarterback is going to be. And even though he's not a left tackle, you plop Nelson in there, you know he's going to protect. I would think that the Colts are probably going to go after a running back maybe with one of these early picks they've got in the second round tonight. But that's a great piece to have there up front. And, of course, we'll have him here on WSBT this season.
And the kid from LSU we saw in the Citrus Bowl, Geis, that might be a guy that fits for Indianapolis.
Yep.
Here's Colts GM Chris Ballard on taking Quentin Nelson.
So excited about Quentin Nelson. You know, when Frank, you know, me and Frank have talked a long time about, you know, fixing, you win games up front. I mean, I mentioned that last week to y'all. And Quentin Nelson, we thought, was the best offensive lineman in the draft. He's got everything we want in terms of character, work ethic, toughness, passion for the game. And he is going to be great for this team and great for the city of Indianapolis. So we're extremely excited to get him.
Chris, what was it about him that you saw in film that you thought he'll be a good fit here in Indy?
I saw him a year ago, actually. I'm close friends with Harry Hiestand, the O-line coach who's now in Chicago, and we were together at one point in Chicago, and he spoke glowingly about him. You know, even a year ago, he thought this kid had real pro potential. But just his, look, he's good as both as a run blocker and pass pro. He's nasty, he's tough, he's everything we want to stand for as a team. His character is his football character is off the charts. And that's something we want to keep adding. He is demanding. He'll be demanding of his teammates to perform, and he'll be demanding on himself to perform. He'll come in and earn it like every rookie has to. But he's a unique guy, got unique size, bend, strength, power. Everything you look for in interior linemen.
Well said. Can't add anything to that. They've got a gamer in Colts football on WSBT radio this fall. So, Sean, then we had a trade at pick number 7.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
I'll keep it short and sweet. He has an incredible arm. Mm-hmm. He can fling it 75, 80 yards down the field. But is he going to be able to read defense, go through the progressions at the National Football League level? That's what I want to see. We see too many of these strong arm guys not able to be an all-around quarterback. Yep. It's like baseball. You can throw 95 when you're 23 years old, but as you get older, you got to learn to pitch. You got to learn to figure it out. Well, it's great to have a strong arm, but what can he do with it? So, to me, there's still some concern about that, or he would have been the number one pick with an arm like that.
Yeah, look, there's obviously some talent there, and everybody loves him. But in two seasons at Wyoming, 21 interceptions, completed 56% of his passes against Mountain West Conference competition. So I guess we'll see, but I just see some issues there.
Yeah, I remember Mike Varell from the South Bend Tribune, who covered Allen at Wyoming early in his career, said he had nothing to work with this year, that the numbers might be better than they look just because he did not have a whole lot to work with out there with the Cowboys. But I think he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. All right, so at pick number 8, as we talked about earlier in this segment, Roquan Smith went to the Chicago Bears at pick number 8. So we move along to selection number 9, the San Francisco 49ers are up next.
With the 9th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mike McGlinchey, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
Two of the top 9 for the Fighting Irish, Nelson at 6, McGlinchey at 9, and this could be a really good fit for Mike McGlinchey. As we found out earlier today, right tackle Trent Brown, who's coming off a torn labrum, was traded to the New England Patriots. You got Joe Staley, a longtime left tackle, 2 years left on his contract. So with Brown being traded, it sure seems like this is not only going to be a long-term pick, but in the short term, Mike McGlinchey is set up to have a chance to play right away.
Jumping right in there, and that's
wow.
Obviously showing that they value him by making that trade today. So that's great for him, and a great night for Notre Dame, obviously, with two guys going in the top 9. First time that's happened for Notre Dame since 1978.
I think it's the third time in 60 years that the same school has had the first two offensive linemen taken in the draft. Nelson and McGlinchey pulled it off last night, and pretty remarkable run during Brian Kelly's tenure. The left tackles, I mean, Zach Martin, Ronnie Stanley, and Mike McGlinchey.
Not bad.
So Liam Eichenberg, go get him.
That's
You're
right.
next, I guess, in line to be a top pick. Hopefully that works out. Good sign for Notre Dame football. Hope you enjoyed the draft on WSBT Radio last night. We have Cubs baseball coming up tonight. We'll take a timeout. Rapid fire begins next on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
Up opposite Von Miller, then just like you said, I mean, you're gonna get some pressure on quarterbacks. That's a good place for a rookie to be when he's got Von Miller on the other side.
And Derek Wolfe on the inside can do a lot of pushing up the middle. So there's going to be some real opportunities for Denver to get better really fast with that defense. So they went Chubb over Nelson. Again, that was a part of me. I really wanted Quentin, but I get the pick, and I'm happy with it. So the Indianapolis Colts had a little present drop into their lap.
With the 6th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Quentin Nelson.
Oh, wow, holy mackerel, okay.
And that was Bill Polian, the old Colts front office man on ESPN Radio. He was thinking they were going to go a different direction. He thought they were going to take Roquan Smith from Georgia at that spot. That's why he reacted in that way. You know, I'm not going to waste a lot of breath. We know who Quentin Nelson is. Talented, desire, emotional, wants to win. And I don't know if we'll ever see a better guard at Notre Dame than Quentin Nelson. He took his craft and took it to another level at the University of Notre Dame. So you look at Indianapolis, Costanza, Nelson, and Kelly on the left side of that offensive line. Andrew Luck's going to sleep very well tonight knowing that that could be the three on the left side of the offensive line.
That's it. You've got to protect Andrew Luck or whoever the quarterback is going to be. And you, even though he's not a left tackle, you plop Nelson in there, you know he's going to protect. I would think that the Colts are probably going to go after a running back maybe with one of these early picks they've got in the second round tonight. But that's right. A great piece to have there up front. And, of course, we'll have him here on WSBT this season.
And the kid from LSU we saw in the Citrus Bowl, Geis,
yeah,
that might be a guy that fits for Indianapolis.
Yep.
Here's Colts GM Chris Ballard on taking Quentin Nelson.
So excited about Quentin Nelson. You know, when Frank, you know, me and Frank have talked a long time about, you know, fixing, you win games up front. I mean, I mentioned that last week to y'all. And Quentin Nelson, we thought, was the best offensive lineman in the draft. He's got everything we want in terms of character, work ethic, toughness, passion for the game. And he is going to be great for this team and great for the city of Indianapolis. So we're extremely excited to get him.
Chris, what was it about him that you saw in film that you thought he'll be a good fit here in Indy?
I saw him a year ago, actually. I'm close friends with Harry Hestand, the O-line coach who's now in Chicago, and we were together at one point in Chicago, and he spoke glowingly about him. You know, even a year ago, he thought this kid had real pro potential. But just his, look, he's good as both as a run blocker and pass pro. He's nasty, he's tough, he's everything we want to stand for as a team. His character is all, his football character is off the charts. And that's something we want to keep adding. He is demanding. He'll be demanding of his teammates to perform, and he'll be demanding on himself to perform. He'll come in and earn it like every rookie has to. But he's a unique guy. Got unique size, bend, strength, power, everything you look for in interior lineman.
Well said. Can't add anything to that. They've got a gamer in Colts football on WSBT radio this fall. So, Sean, then we had a trade at pick number 7.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
I'll keep it short and sweet. He has an incredible arm. Mm-hmm. He can fling it 75, 80 yards down the field. But is he going to be able to read defense, go through the progressions at the National Football League level? That's what I want to see. We see too many of these strong arm guys not able to be an all-around quarterback.
Yep.
It's like baseball. You can throw 95 when you're 23 years old, but as you get older, you got to learn to pitch. You got to learn to figure it out. Well, it's great to have a strong arm, but what can he do with it? So, to me, there's still some concern about that, or he would have been the number one pick with an arm like that.
Yeah, look, there's obviously some talent there, and everybody loves him. But in two seasons at Wyoming, 21 interceptions, completed 56% of his passes against Mountain West Conference competition. So, I guess we'll see, but I just see some issues there.
Yeah, I remember Mike Farrell from the South Bend Tribune, who covered Allen at Wyoming early in his career, said he had nothing to work with this year, that the numbers might be better than they look just because he did not have a whole lot to work with out there with the Cowboys. But I think he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. All right, so at pick number 8, as we talked about earlier in this segment, Roquan Smith went to the Chicago Bears at pick number 8. So we move along to selection number 9, the San Francisco 49ers were up next.
With the 9th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mike McGlinchey, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
Two of the top 9 for the Fighting Irish, Nelson at 6, McGlinchey at 9. And this could be a really good fit for Mike McGlinchey. As we found out earlier today, right tackle Trent Brown, who's coming off a torn labrum, was traded to the New England Patriots. You got Joe Staley, a longtime left tackle, 2 years left on his contract. So with Brown being traded, it sure seems like this is not only going to be a long-term pick, but in the short term, Mike McGlinchey is set up to have a chance to play right away.
Jumping right in there, and that's
wow.
Obviously showing that that they value him by making that trade today. So that's great for him and a great night for Notre Dame, obviously, with two guys going in the top nine. First time that's happened for Notre Dame since 1978.
I think it's the first or the third time in 60 years that the same school has had the first two offensive linemen taken in the draft. Nelson and McGlinchey pulled it off last night. And pretty remarkable run during Brian Kelly's tenure, the left tackles. I mean, Zach Martin, Ronnie Stanley, and Mike McGlinchey.
Not bad.
So Liam Eichenberg, go get him.
That's
You're
right.
You're next, I guess, in line to be a top pick. Hopefully that works out. Good sign for Notre Dame football. Hope you enjoyed the draft on WSBT Radio last night. We have Cubs baseball coming up tonight. We'll take a timeout. Rapid fire begins next on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sports Beat tonight brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds. By Blackthorn Golf Club. Don't forget about the Blackthorn card. Great values. Check it out at blackthorngolf.com or give them a call out at Blackthorn today. Goshen Health System. Goshen Heart and Vascular. Be the hero your heart deserves. Visit GoshenHeartAndVascular.org. And we're brought to you by Labitt Insurance, the agency that rocks. See why at LabittInsurance.com. This afternoon, the Chicago Cubs edged the Milwaukee Brewers 3-2. Last night, a 1-0 win. Schwarber, a home run. Henrich, 7 shutout innings. Cubbies are now 13-10. Last night, the White Sox double up Kansas City 6-3. Yoan Moncada, 3-for-5, a run scored and an RBI. Ronaldo Lopez will start for the Sox in Kansas City at 8:15. Four starts, a 1.50 ERA, but he's 0-2. Why? In four starts, they have scored a total of 4 runs for him. So the Royals got to be licking their chops with that particular stat tonight. And the Cubs and Great Lakes play here on WSBT Radio, 7:20 pregame, 7:35 first pitch. The Cubs are 8-9. We'll pitch Javier Assad, who is 2-0 with a 1.29 ERA. And Roberto Caro, in his last game for South Bend, had a career-high 6 RBI. He's in the leadoff spot for Jimmy Gonzalez tonight. Well, Sean, enjoy the second and third round of the draft tonight. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one out there tonight.
Thank you. That's Sean Steyers. I'm Darren Pritchett. We thank you for joining us on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Again, brought to you by Budweiser, Blackthorn Golf Club, Goshen Heart and Vascular, and Labitt Insurance. The Golf Show comes your way tomorrow morning from 8 to 9 here on WSBT. Cubs baseball starts at 7:20 from 96.1 WSBT South Bend at 7 o'clock.